I want to welcome each and every one of you to this Ambit Energy Business Builder Conference call. My name is Bear Gordon from Austin, Texas. I am an executive consultant with Ambit Energy. Say it with me. And you can be too. Yes, you can. Guys, one of the best ways to get to this level is to educate yourself on the system and how to make it work for you and your business. And one of the best ways to do that, being on this call every Sunday evening, 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Central, 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Pacific time, and also at 11 a.m. in Japan. Welcome to tomorrow. We're going to be hearing from Japan in just a moment. Now, I want to mention a couple of important announcements here. First of all, next Monday, a week from Monday, is Memorial Day. So we've decided that we're not going to have a call next Sunday. We hope that you enjoy the Sunday night with your family and friends, and at some time during that weekend, take a moment to be silent and remember the soldiers and all of the enlisted, all of the people who have served, who have sacrificed their lives for us to live in this free country. Just take a moment and to remember them all. And special blessings to all of you who have someone in your family that serves, and you kind of serve with them too, and you know you do. Okay, so we're not going to have a call next Sunday night, okay? Now, you hear people on this call talking about the big event, Ambition 2018. It's going to be August 30th through to September 1st in Dallas, Texas. Guys, if you're not registered, you've got to go and get registered. You've got to get that done, okay? It's not going to get any cheaper than it is now. It's going to be absolutely awesome. And if you're serious about your Ambit Energy business, you have to attend the national conference. That's one of the gauges of how serious you are, is whether or not you're committed to go to the national conference. It was great to hear Norbert Hennessy's voice on this call. We've missed him for a few weeks now with some health issues. But I can tell you now, Norbert Hennessy will not miss Ambition 2018. So come join it with him, okay? I know he's already registered. Now, I'm going to check in just a quick second and make sure. Yes, okay. Our featured speaker is on the call. He and I have been friends both in and outside of Ambit Energy. Happy to say he's a million-dollar income earner, Thompson Leadership Award winner, and, guys, one of the best trainers in our entire company. Please welcome to the call Mr. Richard Amueto. Richard, are you there?
Hey, Bear, I am. Thank you.
Okay, and you're currently in Japan now?
No, I'm actually in Frisco, Texas, but I'm heading back to Japan on Tuesday. We came in for a very quick 11-day trip from Japan, and it's been kind of a whirlwind. So
how is your family? How have they been adjusting to moving from the United States to Japan? And tell me what's going on with the Japanese market.
Sure, you bet. Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. You know, looking back, it's been about a year since we've been living in Japan. It's hard to believe how quick it's gone by. We've had, a couple quick trips back home. We came home for Ambition last year for a few weeks, and then we came home for Christmas time last year, and then we've been back in Japan ever since. So it's just hard to believe that a year has gone by, and we've got about 9 months of actual operations where we're billing customers in Japan. So it's been an adventure in every which way. I mean, one of the first things that Chris Chambliss told me when before we left, he had some words of wisdom and some advice to give us. He said, "I just want you to know, guys, it's hard. You know, it's not going to be a cakewalk. You're moving to another country. Very few people speak the language. That makes a huge difference once you've been here a little while." And something that couldn't be more true. You know, you take for granted that you can walk out your front door and talk to your neighbor, or go down the street and talk to the person at the convenience store, or Starbucks, or whatever it is, and that's just not the case there. So it really is, you know, we rely on our family. You know, it's a family unit. When we're doing business, we have translators, interpreters, and, you know, and there's occasionally somebody there at the meeting that can speak some English, but it's Japanese. That is the predominant language, and English is definitely not the predominant language. So it does create certain barriers, especially when, you know, Mary and I's skill set is being able to present and train from the front of the room, coach one-on-one, that it makes a difference. We have to do things very, very differently over there, because even when we have a translator, what we have to use for English words is limited. because they don't have a Japanese word for every English word. They don't have an exact way of translating exactly what we're saying. So it's no question. I mean, it's an uphill battle the whole way.
So how has it been going so far as the growth in your organization?
So it's been good. You know, we've gotten definitely a couple of good legs going there. We're working hard on, you know, with our NC code over there as well. It's been start and stops. I think this has been a very good fresh reminder for us. Being in the field with our sleeves rolled up is what people deal with. A brand new consultant might be dealing with, except we've got some different circumstances around it. You know, we're pleased with our results. Our work's not done yet. We've probably got about another 6 months of being over there before we permanently come back here. And, you know, where we've been spending, you know, 80% of our time there and 20% home, maybe it'll probably flip flop, you know, come next year where we're spending 80% here and 20% over there. So hopefully we'll have enough leadership developed where that makes sense to do that. I think company wide, it's done well. I mean, Ambit has certainly climbed the ranks pretty quickly. You know, there's a few hundred companies over there that are competing in the deregulated markets, and we've certainly broken into the top 40, if not the top 20, based upon the amount of kilowatts or megawatts that we're purchasing and selling on a monthly basis now.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you're coming home.
Yeah, you know,
so
I mean,
like,
you know.
I'd like to ask you a specific question. I know that there's some consultants on the call that may have an interest in building an organization in Japan, may know someone who knows someone in Japan. Can you give us a brief explanation of what a Gaiyu Shomen is and how it works?
Yeah. So, I mean, it basically, the Gaiyu Shomen is really a requirement through regulatory of Japan and through MEDI, where for direct selling companies, they need to be able to identify all the ins and outs of their business. What's the business about? Compensation plan, you know, what are the policies and procedures of the company? It really just kind of lays out the IC agreement, the policies and procedures, and then our compensation plan. And it's just there so somebody has it in black and white so they know the ins and outs of the company and the opportunity. And that's done in Japanese and English. And it is required that every prospect get one. It's not a suggestion. So it is one of those things that we are required to do to basically, so someone has full, everybody knows in the beginning of anything it's hard. And it takes a certain amount of thickness of skin and a commitment and a willingness to be able to work through all the uncertainties. You know, Jerry talked about for so many years and still does from time to time. You know, he talks about those three buckets, you know, there's what you know. There's what you know you don't know, and then the scary bucket of what you don't know that you don't know. And that bucket shows up, and it shows up more often than you'd like. I don't care if it's a brand new market in the U.S., if it's a brand new country, it shows up. And that's just part of the game. Maybe you're even starting your business in a market that's been established there for 2, 3, 4, 5. Maybe you're starting in Texas. There's still things that change in the environment of energy deregulation. And you have to be prepared to roll with that. And then the other thing is you're out there starting prospecting. Maybe you're a brand new consultant. Maybe you've been with us for months or years. But there's always the person that you didn't expect to be rude or just shoot you down or whatever that might be. You have to remember why you started this business, because none of that stuff matters, because probably 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now, you'll be so far down the road that won't even have a wink of an impact on you. If I think of all the people that told me no or told Mary no over the years, you know, compared to the ones that said yes, yeah, I got way more no's than I got yeses. But the no's didn't make me any money. But they did fuel my fire. The yeses made me money. The yeses helped me get promoted through the compensation plan. The yeses helped me build my residual. The yeses helped me build my weekly check. And that's what I focused on. I never focused on the no's. Now, I would always debrief with Mary or somebody else on what could I've done better. So if there's been one theme in my Ambit business that I've done consistently besides show up is ask, what can I do better? So when you're at your local meeting, you're at a training, you're just with a consultant, you guys are talking, you guys should be looking to see how can we help each other become better? What can I do to improve my effectiveness? What can I do to increase my sphere of influence? What can I do to present better? whatever that might be, if you're always looking, what can I do to get better? You're going to get better. No question about it. And that's about the only thing that we've done on a regular basis is getting better. In Japan, we're always looking to get better. I mean, we're trying to learn the language. It's hard. There's no shortcut around it. My 9-year-old, well, now my 10-year-old son, probably has the most mastery around the language out of all of us, because he's just a sponge. He hears it and runs with it, and he can do whatever. Doesn't have all the confidence to carry a full conversation, but certainly he's got the capacity to take all that in. And so for us, we really do feel like we're in the next phase of our business, so where we are starting back at the beginning of something, reminding us not to rest on our laurels. You know, I might ruffle some feathers here. I find a lot of leaders, they get to a certain point and they just kind of sit back. And that's fine. You can do that. But I think it's important to remember that there were so many people ahead of you that were fighting for you, that you've got people behind you that are counting on you to pull you forward, to pull them forward. I've heard a lot of people talk about, you know, what a leader is in this company and in other companies. And personally, my personal opinion is I think it has nothing to do with rank, and it has nothing to do with income. And even if you have both of those, it has nothing to do with both of those. It has to do with, has your why shifted to where you're now working on other people's whys? See, I achieved my whys long. I've created new whys, but if you look at the initial whys and reasons why I was doing this business, those got handled a long time ago. Now I'm kind of working on more like wants, you know, the things that are setting things up for my kids and things like that. They're not survival mode. They're not luxury items, but they're more things that are going to set things up for the future to give my kids the most opportunity possible. And those are important, but where I'm at right now is my head is I'm looking at the people that are on the team. It's like, okay, I'm going to hold that why, because if I help that person, then they're going to help a dozen more people get there. And so right now, I think for us, we're more focused on other people's whys than we are our own. We've shifted the focus off of ourselves and have focused on them. And I think that's a critical thing that you recognize the season that you're in. Right now, you might be in this business where it's like, listen, I gotta make an extra $500 or $1,000 a month, or I've got to be able to pay for my kids' college, or I've got to be able to pay off this credit card debt. And all that stuff will happen, the short-term stuff, and it's almost kind of survival mode in regards to that. And there's a path and there's a way to get that done, get promoted through the compensation plan, start building that weekly check, start building the residual check, and that's going to come. But then once that happens, you could dangle another big carrot out in front of you, and that's what gets you going. That's fine. It's never been my thing. It's always been about, what can I do to help somebody else get where I am or even get ahead of me? I never want to be the glass ceiling for somebody. I never want to be the lid on my downline. I'd love for anyone in my downline to pass me up. I'd have no problem with that. I got no ego in the battle. Just go ahead, run with it, go for it. So I think it's important to recognize the season that you're in is like, listen, right now this is about me and my family. At some point in time, more than likely, it's going to shift to where it's about other people and other families. And I think at that point, it does become more rewarding because it's no longer about the money. No one says you can't make a bunch of money, make as much money as you want in this business. I just think it's important that you define what that looks like for you. I think for a long time in this business, for me, I was defining my success by what other people's outside success looked like. Somewhere along the way, I had to kind of come to the conclusion of what success looked like for me and my family. And that became our driving factor of how we were going to rearrange our life. Part of that shifted when we started homeschooling our kids. You know, that was important for us. You know, we wanted to be off the calendar. We wanted to be off everyone's calendar. We wanted to own our calendar, which means we didn't care if it was a school holiday, if it was an exam day, whatever it is. We wanted to own our calendar, so we could do whatever we wanted to do when we wanted to do it and still be able to educate and train our kids to become leaders in this world. Fortunately, we started that process a year in advance before we even knew that we were going to Japan. So it was really good timing that we shifted what our focus was on. And we've always looked to see what can we do to make, not necessarily make life more comfortable, but to make it more fulfilling and more rewarding. What's the next memory? What's the next experience that we want to have? And in Japan, it's also important because our time there is going to be a blink of an eye. I mean, it's going to be a year and a half that we're there, and there's still going to be things that we didn't get to do or experience. But I think the memories and everything that we take back from there will be priceless. And it's certainly for my kids, being out of America, being out of the American bubble and being out of the Frisco bubble, which those of you that live in Texas understand what that might mean, is them being able to see how the other parts of the world live. You know, we've taken our kids to Vietnam for 2 weeks. We've taken them to South Korea, and we'll be visiting some other Asian countries while we're over there. But more importantly, they've got to see that America is an incredible place to live. And I used to hear people joke sometimes that have traveled the world, they would say, well, America is the worst country to live in until you go live someplace else. And I would agree with that statement. As much as Japan is organized and advanced and all those things, there's still no comparison to the opportunities and the freedoms and the flexibilities that we have here to go create your own environment, your own world. You get to literally, you've got a blank slate here in America, and definitely with Ambit Energy, you've got a better blank slate than anyone else that I can possibly think of that's on the planet. There's no other company that delivers this level of residual, this kind of consistency. Mary and I know lots of people that are higher ranks in other product-based type companies, and they do really well. And, you know, and listen, their lifestyle on the outside, and it looks great. But when I look at the hurdles they have to hit each month and the quotas and the benchmarks and the volume and all that stuff that they have to do, it's like a level of stress that I left in the mortgage business. You know, I spent years stressing on Mondays and stressing at the end of the month, and I've never done that in Ambit. I've never had to stress about a quota. I've never had to stress about even a bonus, you know? I mean, sometimes you miss a bonus and it's frustrating and whatever it might be. Okay, got it. But nonetheless, we don't have to start all over each and every month. We get to ride on our success each and every month, and we get to ride on our success each and every year. So as you're building this business and your focus is on, you know, helping that next person or working towards your next promotion, just know that there's no matter what frustration you might be having, I promise you, it compares nothing to what other people in this industry have to deal with. And other people in this industry, they don't have the opportunity to hit a certain level of residual, and then back off without getting penalized. You hit your financial freedom number in Ambit, and you don't want to do anything else, keep your website on, keep 20 points up there maintained, Ambit will pay you forever. As long as those customers are there, you're going to pay you forever. That doesn't exist anywhere in this industry. And the sad thing is that there's too many people that hit that moment where, should I stay or should I go? And they choose to go because someone's dangling something that's a little shinier, and it can show up shows up short term quicker. But they don't understand what's on the backside of that is they got to do it every month over and over and over again. Here, we just build on our success. We build on other people's success. And then you get to write your own story at that point in time. So when you're thinking of sponsoring, I'll use what I was told a long time ago. When I sponsor somebody, I'm not recruiting them. I sponsor their whole life to the extent that they want me to. I'll get involved in you personally. I'll get involved. If we got to get involved with, you know, the calendar for the household, we got to get involved with the kids' sports activities, whatever we got to do to rearrange life for you to achieve your wife, your family, we're doing it. Because as an Ambit Energy consultant, they didn't say I was a recruiter, so I was a consultant. Consultants solve problems. Consultants make things happen. Consultants build things. They don't just do something once and hope that it turns out for the best. They've got to create a plan for success. And that's what a consultant does in the marketplace. So I kind of take it on the same way. Maybe you view it differently. That's fine. I'm just looking at from what I've seen leaders that have been successful in this company, what they do is they work with people closely. They don't just recruit them. And if you're recruiting people and you're looking behind you and you got websites off, you got people not hitting their bonuses, you're doing a team call and you've got hardly anyone on your team call, you might want to look to see what could I do better. Talk to somebody who you think might be doing it better than you in this business and see what you can do to increase your retention or increase your effectiveness, because this business is not just about recruiting. If we recruit somebody, we make $0. Now, if I was selling you a beauty package and I get you in the business, I'm going to make a bonus right then and there. I'm going to get paid for what I just did. But I'm not getting paid next month unless you're on the auto ship. So I think it's important that you understand the difference between sponsorship and recruiting. And more importantly, when it comes to your upline, one of the things that I do like is that Mary and I did climb to the top virtually without upline support. And I'm not saying that to chastise my upline, but it taught us something very valuable, is that I have the same tools as you bear. I have the same markets. I have the same everything, the same rates, the same compensation plan. And the only thing that's there for me to do is learn how to execute those things extremely well. And fortunately, outside of my upline, there's a ton of people who saw something in us that were willing to say, hey, try this. Or I could call them up and say, hey, listen, I'm struggling with this. They said, great, do this. There was always support at every level, every rank that we were at, and we never had to worry about being an island or being all alone. We were just, again, focused on getting better, and we didn't have to worry about that. So your upline is there to partner with you if you have an active upline at whatever level. I mean, if you know, wherever you think you're stuck, if you haven't introduced yourself to everyone in your upline, swim upstream, go in your power zone, look at every phone number that's there in your upline widget, and call them and introduce yourself. Make sure they know who you are and you know who they are. They've got you in their phone. You got them in your phone, and they're there to, you know, for when you need something. Not when you need a customer to get a bonus. They're there for coaching, you know. They're there for some level of support in regards to that. But what you don't want to do is mistreat your upline. And I'm saying this for a very specific reason. Your downline will treat you like you treat your upline. If you expect your upline for a handout, your downline is going to ask you, you're going to treat you for a handout. If you work with your upline in a coaching basis, a mentoring type basis, then you'll be able to transfer that to your downline. Your downline will respect the same thing back to you. And you'll get the oddballs every now and again. That's fine. Can't, you know, we don't take applications. We don't do interviews. We take everyone as they come. So just remember that however you treat your upline, your downline is going to treat you the exact same way, except it's going to be magnified over and over again. So very, very important that you understand that. And the other thing, I'll just leave you with this, because the time of year that we're at is, you know, we're coming up on summertime. We've got a big event coming around the corner for Ambition. I'm going back to Japan because we've got the first big event there, which is Energize, which is on 5/26, May 26th. And we can't miss that. It reminds me of the first Ambition that we were at, where there was probably about 700 people down there in Bastrop, Texas. And I don't know how many are going to be at this event. Maybe there'll be 1,000. There might be 1,500. We'll see. Haven't heard the current standings for Japan. But it's going to be that, again, that primary first, where the first batch of leaders really get emerged from. There's been a handful of ECs that have come out of Japan fairly quickly. They're being tested now. You know, it's, they got there, you know, they had the pre-launch and, you know, they got to run with it. They've had a couple of promos that they've got to make some extra money with, and they're figuring they're getting their sea legs out, you know, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next several months with those leaders that come out of Energize. Those of you that are in America that are registered for Ambition, of course you want to be, so you can be taking advantage of the bonuses that are out there because of it. So you definitely want to make sure you're registered for it, although you can't have access to the bonuses. But also the bonuses that come for the attendee onlys that are going to be announced there at Ambition here in Dallas. Those events are turning points in most people's events, a lot of teams' events. Sometimes you see a third of your growth occurs right after those events in the preceding 2 to 3 months. It's hard to imagine that happens. And for some people, have a small team. Maybe that doesn't sound like a whole lot, but what you got to look at is, it's not just this Ambition. This is your layup Ambition, maybe. This is the one where you're coming down and you've only got a few people with you, and then you're coming to the next ambition in 2019, and you've got a team of 50 coming with you. Okay, you build upon successes. We build from event to event. We build from the big events, the big corporate events, to your smaller local and regional events. If you're focused on having more people at the next event each and every time, then you know your team is growing. You know you're getting better. You know your team's getting better. So if everyone's getting better, guess what? The checks get bigger. There's no two ways around it. I've yet to see anyone become a top income earner that never went to Ambition. So if that's a clue, I'd be at Ambition. I mean, I don't know any other way to do it, right? And some people got to get on a plane, and some people got to drive, and some people take a bus, and some people do all sorts of crazy things to make it happen. But if I've learned anything from our number one income earner, Brian McClure, hearing about sacrifice, and Mary and I've done our fair share of sacrifice, but I've never sacrificed like him. I never had to. Sleeping in a car, eating yeast rolls at a restaurant for free, and then leaving, you know? I just think of the things that the dues and the price that some of our leaders have paid to get where they are. You know, it wasn't a road paved with gold bricks. They fought their way all the way to the top. And again, your fight, your distinction, your definition of what success is for you and your family needs to be yours, not a copycat of somebody else. If you don't have a desire of making $25,000, $100,000 a month in this business, no problem. No, I mean, literally, I mean, I say that, and some leaders are going, oh, everyone needs to be going for that. No, not everyone needs to be going for that. I'm going for $100,000 a month. Now, I couldn't go for $100,000 a month when I was in the beginning, maybe even 5 years into the business. I didn't know if I actually had the vision for that. I don't even know if I had the thought that I was willing to pay the price for that. But different seasons of life, different times, different goals, different aspirations, things change. But you've got to be willing to align your life with this business to support what it is that you want, because it will give you what you want if you're willing to go get it and you're willing to make the adjustments. And the only thing that's going to allow for that is you've got to remove the distractions. All the stupid stuff on social media, the amount of news that you watch, the amount of talk radio that you listen to. And if I'm offending you, I'm really sorry in one regard, but in another way, I'm not, because I'm going to tell you, you can't get there distracted. You get there by being focused. You get there by doing things that are hard that no one else wants to do. You're not going to get pulled to the top. Now, we've had some people in Ambit that have gotten lucky. You know, they sponsored somebody who sponsored somebody who sponsored a rock star, and that person took off and became a national consultant and built a, you know, 20,000 people in 6 years. Okay, I just don't have a plan for you on that. I can't tell you the outline. If I had the outline for that, I would have already done it myself. The only thing I've known to do is set goals, set a course of action, prepare my family for the seasons when there needs to be high activity, and roll up my sleeves and go to work, get kicked in the teeth, stand up, and go get a victory, and then go get kicked in the teeth, and then go get a victory. Over and over and over again. And for some reason, I've enjoyed that process. I've enjoyed the process of growing and stretching and blood, sweat, and tears, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. So when somebody says, what's available from Ambit Energy? Your life. You get to learn how to live. And you get to learn how to live not just in Ambit. You get to learn how to live in your community. You get to learn how to live in your church. You get to be a resource. You get to be able to give like you've never given before. You get to do things that no one else gets to do because they're busy at a job, 9 to 5, 8 to 7, whatever it is that they do, like a lot of you guys are, working. And those of you that are working, I have a tremendous amount of respect for you. But don't you dare say, well, my circumstances. Everyone's got minutes a day to invest in their future. I've got a guy on my team, Chad Crenshaw. Most times of the year, he's working 80 to 100 hours a week. He's still got time to get promoted to executive. You know, I've got other people that have got businesses, like Doug Parker. Plenty of time still to go build the business. I've got stay-at-home parents. Still plenty of time to go build the business. I didn't have to replace a job income when I started this business. I had to replace a mortgage company's income that had 4 offices in 4 states. So I know what it's like to go replace your income. It's to do it in a short amount of time, takes cooperation with your family. It takes real commitment on your part, and you've got to be willing to go through the losses to get to the wins. None of it's easy. It is fun. It's exhilarating. But there are times where you're going to feel like you want to quit. We've all been there. We've all been where we don't know if it's going to make it. We don't know if it's going to work. That's when you fight harder. That's when you get the most help. But if you give into it, it's not one step back. It's one step back in quicksand because it's harder to get out each and every time. So you've got to press forward no matter what it is that you're facing. And my personal opinion, if you're stuck, the only way I know how to get out of it is action. And if you can't take action, then you got to get in communication with someone who's going to help pull you out to get you out of the ditch and then get into action. And there's no shortcut to that. And I think there's sometimes people out there in our industry that are out there talking heads that are gurus or selling this system and this recruitomatic system and whatever that might be, or, hey, come to this event, we'll teach you how to be whatever. That's all out there, and it's all noise. It's all distraction, because at the end of the day, it's still going to come down to you rolling out of bed, putting your pants on, getting on the phone, getting in front of somebody, asking someone to take a look, following up with them, getting them on a three-way phone call, get them signed up, get them trained, and do it over and over and over again till you have enough people on your team where you have some momentum, momentum that's driving your business, whether you're working or not, and that doesn't happen overnight. And anyone that's told you that it will, I'm sorry. I'll be the first one to tell you I'm sorry. It just doesn't work that way. So I'm glad that I was given the truth from the beginning, the middle, and the end. And I'm at the beginning again, doing what I'm doing. We're building our NC code. We're building in a foreign country. And I'm still building in Texas, too. I'm still building in Boston. I'm still building. I'm straddling the fence. So don't think that you can take your foot off the gas, and don't think somebody else is going to do it for you. And I'll leave you with one other thing. Is if you are thinking about sponsoring somebody in Japan, make sure you have a way of supporting them. You can't just send them to the meeting and expect someone else to train them. I don't send somebody to Ray's meeting, Chris's meeting, Peter's meeting, anyone's meeting, and expect someone else to train my people, whether it's in Illinois, New York, Boston, Houston, or Osaka or Tokyo. Anyone that comes into our team, we find a way to make sure that they get support. So you've got to do the same thing. There is group time there, but what you can't get is somebody who, if you don't speak Japanese and you're recruiting someone Japanese on Facebook, thinking that they're going to be set up to win. That's a recipe for disaster. It doesn't work that way. Everyone that's gotten anything going in Japan is because they had a relationship where they could either speak the language, whether it was Duolingo, or they already spoke English, or they spoke Japanese already. They had a way of communicating with them on their own through their upline or through themselves directly, not because they sent someone to a meeting blindly and hoped that they got signed up on the right website and then hoped that they ran their way all the way to executive consultant. It doesn't work that way. So think about it when you're sponsoring somebody. Sponsor someone the way that you want to be sponsored. Be the sponsor you've always wanted. And if you focus on that, your team will be rock solid. And I don't care where you build. Ryan always says, work locally, think globally. Whatever's on your written list is local. Whether it's your zip code or another state, doesn't matter. That's what you can work with. But then you got to think beyond that. What are the relationships that are all tied to those other relationships? And then just make sure you can find the resources to support them so you can sponsor them the way you've always wanted to be sponsored. That's all I got for tonight, Bear.
I tell you what, that was a lot, though, and thank you for all of that. Folks, you all just got a weekend training in about a 30-minute call. And if you're listening to this call and you're like me, you're thinking you didn't get it all, okay? So I'm going to recommend right off the bat, you need to listen to this call again. You need to get your team on this call. Richard laid it down for you. And you can go to topambitleaders.com. Give us a couple of days to get it going. We'll get this call up for you to be a resource for you and your team. Richard, I want to thank you for being on the call. You always bring it on the call. You always bring it to us. And this is no exception. Appreciate you being on the call with us.
A pleasure, Barrett. Thank you.
Okay,
all right, folks, I'm going to open up the line. Hang on just a second. Oh, and I want to two other things. I'm going to also ask, Brian was supposed to be on the call tonight, and he couldn't be on the call because as we speak, he is in Japan on a bullet train, and he's traveling, and they don't allow cell phones on the bullet train, so Richard was happy to stand in. And I want to remind you once again, we do not have a call next week. We're going to take the Sunday night call off for the Memorial Day weekend, and I'm going to encourage you all to enjoy your family and friends and remember all of those who served. I'm going to open up the line so that you can say thanks to Richard as well. You guys have a great evening. Hold on just a second.